morning, everybody. Yeah, I was trying to think. It's been some time since I've been up front. Maybe some of you noticed, some of you didn't. That's okay. Linda has had some health issues which required me to be nearby, and I'm thankful and appreciative for those that have stood in the gap in my absence. As for me and my little world, there's no going back to normal anymore. As I shared in last week's stewardship, I've accustomed myself to prepare for a new normal each and every day. Because if you assume your day will be consistent or predictable when you are serving as a caregiver, you will be wrong almost all the time. James 4, 13 through 14 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We definitely do not know what's going to happen tomorrow, and sometimes it can be hour by hour. And now most of us in this room have electronic tethers. They're also known as cell phones. And that thing can go off at any minute of the day. Your afternoon may be completely different in just a blink of an eye, because that's the world that we live in. You know, I did have an opportunity to listen to my brother Steve's encouragement from the 26th when he covered for me back then. And the subject that he brought was rejoice. And he brought up a lot of scriptures regarding those who did not let their circumstances get them down, but kept their heads up and moving forward in a positive manner. So this encouragement is going to piggyback on that just a little bit, and hopefully not duplicate it too much. Nope. Now, they might all be dried out from lack of use, but at least they're still there. Lick them, get them going again, huh?
I thought you'd like that.
Well, with, that idea, this is very distracting. One day I'm going to just cut this thing off because it knows I'm not tall enough to hook it up there.
It's a plumb line. Leave it there.
All right, we'll leave it there, the plumb line, so we know where center is. So I'm going to write something on the board, and it's going to be sort of the underlying theme to this message, okay? And I'll see if I can do it kind of quickly. It is not plumb line. How much we can endure, E-N-D-U-R-E. I want to also put out here, or put up with it is how much we can give. Some of you may be able to associate, connect with how much you can put up with. Minor crisis in the back. Now, Steve told me this a long time ago, that he had been reading a book about, some Delta Force operators, and that this was a quote that the guy put in there. It's not how much they could endure, but he found for success or put up with, he found that success as a Delta Force operator was how much he could give. Now, it's kind of hard to connect with Delta Force operators if, you've never been around them, but wonder if you're a caregiver. Now it might start coming to light a little bit more, especially when you're dealing with older parents. Yeah. And all of a sudden you find out how crotchety and mean they are, you know? And you start to realize, okay, well, you know, I can put up with, you know, him saying that about me. Yeah, I can do that. I can do it over and over again. And then pretty soon it's just too much. And they've crossed the line. You know, it's not fair anymore. It's not right anymore. And now it's time for you to get some justice. And that's why I put up with this, or put up with. Yeah.
It's words. I know I'm in there.
It's how much that we can give. And when you have that mindset change to where it's no longer, okay, well, I can, you know, put up with this and them saying mean things about me, or, you know, not liking the color of my hair or the way that I cut my hair. I'm not picking on Aunt Sue, but I think I've heard that from her. When you can get past that, and now all of a sudden it's how much that you can give, it helps a lot. Now, I wasn't going to start the encouragement with that, but seeing as I did, the rest of the encouragement is going to be pretty boring. All right? Because the scriptures are full of examples of people going through and enduring great trials. And we need to be able to lean on these things for our strength and able to share them with those who are outside of Christ. Romans 15:4 tells us that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And James 1:2 says, my brethren, count it all joy. Yeah, this is crazy talk. You know, this guy is obviously around the bend. How are we supposed to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's exactly what trials are going to do for you. They're going to perfect you. You know, I liken it to the idea of a stone. People who have ever sharpened a knife with a whetstone, the stone sharpens the knife. It just keeps rubbing against it and grinding it down until it gets to the shape it's supposed to be. That's what trials are doing for us. They are constantly shaping us. Now, you know, the Lord is merciful. I may never even get to page 2, but the Lord is merciful because we have a lot of things that need to be trimmed off in our life that we don't even realize, because it's the trials that come our way that, boink, make them pop up and you became aware of them. Mike Culver used to talk about the fact that he had a pop-up Bible. He'd be reading verses and all of a sudden they'd pop right up at him. Well, you know, that's what God does to us. If you're not getting it from his word, he's going to be putting you through some trials and tribulations, and you're going to be wondering, why is this happening to me? You know, I go to church, I'm a faithful Christian, I try to do my best, I read my Bible, and why are these things happening to me? Well, dummy, go look in the mirror. Because you're trying to be taught something here. Now, I am obviously one of them thicker people, because there's trials and tribulations I went through for years, and I thought, what's going on here? This isn't right. The Bible is full of promises of good things that's supposed to be happening to me, and why am I going through all this? Because it was me that was the problem. I had issues, and I didn't realize them until you stop and meditate on what's going on around you. So you think you got your life all squared away, and you think you're a pretty good Christian, and you're walking faithful, and you got some fruits of the Spirit going on for you, and then you become a caregiver. You realize how deficit you are. Oh, how deficit you are. Just when you think you got it made, the Lord comes along and says, you know, Christian, there's a few more rough edges that we got to knock off, and this is how we're going to do it. But Lord, look at all the stuff that I'm enduring and putting up with. You're missing the point there, grasshopper. It's not about enduring or putting up with. It's about how much I can get from you. How much can you give me? How much are you? I am never going to get to that piece of paper. How much you're going to change your life to walk like my son did, Jesus didn't have many rough edges, obviously, because, you know, he went through some stuff, but it wasn't like we got to see the inside of Jesus. And, you know, if his brothers were mean to him or they ganged up on him, we don't learn all that cool stuff, you know. But we go through it. We go through it. And it's like it never seems to end. Just when you're a young Christian and you're motoring along and you're thinking, okay, we've got this, we got it locked on nice and tight. And then something happens in your life. All of a sudden there's drama with family members. And you're thinking, where is that in the scripture? How am I supposed to put up with this? Where's my biblical verse on how to deal with my brothers and sisters? Mom and dad have passed away and they're not sharing the inheritance with me. And what am I supposed to do? Where's that verse at? How much do I got to put up with? Well, the testing of your faith comes in 360 degrees of different flavors. Just when you think you've got it locked on, there's going to be something else about your faith that needs to be tweaked just a little bit, because the goal is to be perfected as Jesus was, to walk as he did on this earth, so that when people see you and when you talk with people, they're going to recognize, hey, there's something different about this person. And that's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to change. Now, it'd be nice if we could just read the words, John, I would like you to do this. Okay, Lord, no problem. Unfortunately, our character's not quite like that. And he has to get the rock out. And he starts grinding on us and trying to show us over and over again to start changing. And we're going, no, 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 that's not fair. That's not right. Oh, I got to put up with that too? There's a huge difference between giving as much as you can give to the Lord and putting up with all the trials and the tribulations that come our way. So with that thought sort of in our mind, I'll probably only use a few of these verses because we'd be here till 12:30 and I don't want a bad reputation. You know what I mean? I got a reputation to uphold. You know, John is makes you get home to lunch on time. Don't have to worry about things burning on the stove when John's teaching. So the testing of our faith, and you ready for this? I want you to listen. The testing of your faith is for your knowledge, not for God, not for your neighbors, not for those that you're being tested for. It's for your knowledge to see where you are at. It lets you know how you're progressing. And like I said, I'm a little thicker than others. I went for years not making any progress in certain areas, wondering what on earth am I doing wrong? Yeah, well, I wasn't paying attention. It's not about them changing to make my life easier. It's about me changing on the inside, and it's not so I can just put up with more. Boy, I got a lot of endurance. I can run a 26-mile race. Woohoo! Yeah, well, the Lord doesn't want you to stop at 26. He wants you to just keep going unlimited. And the only way to do that is stop trying to endure, stop trying to put up with, and get to the giving. How much can you give? And how are you going to have the strength to do the giving? The Holy Spirit's going to provide that. And you have to trust in God. Oh, where's that stewardship guy? Good job, stewardship guy. Man, that was a good encouragement. So, I want to say that also. Being tested in life is something we all went through when we went through school. Teacher gives you the material. Week later, they give you a test. Why'd they give me a test? You gave me the material. Were you deficit in giving me the material? Okay, Wade's already graduated from college. I can say this. I had teachers that were of that mindset. Cover the material, have you do the review questions, test on Friday. Week, same every week. This history teacher drove me nuts. I hated that class. He didn't even bother being a teacher. He could have just sat up there and said, you know, read the chapter, do the mid questions, exam on Friday. He didn't teach me nothing, just made me angry. So I stopped doing homework. I showed him. That's why I graduated 120th out of about 130. I was at the top of my class. Depends which way you were looking at it. Okay. So the testing gives us feedback, and it gives it to us. So if you're going through a trial or a tribulation, or as I tell the young adults class, when you're in a situation and your emotions start welling up in, you know, and you start getting emotional about something, you need to back off, because emotions are not going to be good for you. You need to be objective about the situation, because when you get emotional, the lips start moving and bad things happen. So when you start having some of those challenges, or you react suddenly and you say, wow, I didn't expect that to come out of me. Yep, well, there's a little test that you just kind of were made aware of that you failed. Let's get to page 2. So you're going to have some tests in this life, and some are short and some are long. I can't really explain that biblically, because all the examples I have are very long trials and tribulations. And I think I'm just going to talk about them, because most of you folks know these things. Well, we know Abraham had some trials and tribulations, and then the nation of Israel, they had 40 years of testing in the wilderness. 40 years is an awful long time to go camping. I've been camping with the military, and I didn't like it much, and that's why I don't camp now. Motel 6 is as low as I go. Camping in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know the other thing that happened once to me, when I was going to a beautiful place called Berbera, Somalia. And we were on this airplane for 54 hours. Now, it didn't take 54 hours of flying to get there, but we had some challenges. Like, we landed in Cairo, and we were in a military aircraft, and we were all wearing chocolate chip uniforms. That's desert camouflage. We call them chocolate chip suits. And we all had weapons, and we were in Cairo, and the plane had an issue, and it couldn't take off. So we stayed out on the runway, on the far end of the runway, all night long, because we couldn't be seen in Cairo, American forces with arms in that country, because we didn't have any treaties with them for training exercises. Yep, so we stayed on that plane. So it took us 54 hours to get there. And as a result of that, you know, the Air Force was doing the best that they could. They were feeding us. And these TV dinners. So first meal was roast beef. Next meal was roast beef. Next meal was roast beef. Breakfast was roast beef. Lunch was, I was about ready to puke just smelling roast beef TV dinners. And I cannot imagine 40 years of eating manna. Now, the scripture said it was sweet as honey, okay? I'll give them that. And, you know, God must have worked with them so that they could put up with it for 40 years. Because I couldn't go 3 days eating roast beef over and over again. The body just can't handle that. So they went through a 40-year trial in the wilderness until, you know, all those rebellious men passed away, and their families went on. Abraham had some trials with the promises. You know, God promised him a kid, but hey, you know, he didn't just, bink, here, have a kid. No, 14 years he had to wait for that kid. Abraham, in all likelihood, should have given up hope. He was 100 years old before that kid finally came along. This morning, as I was thinking about this encouragement, I thought about Joseph. Now, Joseph, a young man, 17 years old, he had some insight from God that, hey, you know, his family was going to be bound down to him at some point, so he's kind of looking forward to that. The family wasn't really keen on that idea. Next thing you know, Joseph gets sold off into slavery. Then he does some time in jail. I have it kind of computed at about 13 years before he finally was able to get out of that jail cell. Now, for the 13 years that that young man was in prison and in slavery, he still held his faith towards God, because when Potiphar's wife came hounding him, he said, I can't do that. You know, I just won't do that. I won't offend my God like that. How did this young man, 17 years of age, going through all these trials and tribulations for 13 years, maintain his faith and his consistency? We're the hot now generation. You know, if we have a trial or tribulation lasting 3 months, 6 months, or even a year, we're sick and tired of it. Lord, come on, let's get rid of it, or take me home. I don't care which. You can take me home at any time. We don't have much patience. So Abraham, let's grab just a couple of New Testament ones. And we had Noah too. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. It isn't the physical death that is important, it's the spiritual situation. So here we got in the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, we got the apostles trying to do their business, get the church started, get it up and running. Jesus is gone, left them kind of alone to, you know, work their way through it. They got the Holy Spirit working within them, and they're trying to make their way down the road, doing the best that they can. So in Acts 5, picking up in verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Pretty good report. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Well, they were doing good things, so why they end up in prison? They were doing what the Lord wanted them to do. They were probably, you know, reading their scriptures daily and encouraging one another. All of a sudden, they're in prison. Well, that don't seem right. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find him in the prison. They returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers, brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. Well, now the council is plotting to kill him. I'm going to have to jump to a couple of verses. Verse 33, when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Well, wait a minute. We're just doing the Lord's work, and we're teaching the people, and we're doing good things, and so why all of a sudden are we going to be killed? Well, surely now the apostles are going to drag themselves back to their prayer closet and call upon God for relief. Nope, verse 40 and 41 says they rejoiced and went on teaching. So what can we learn from this? The apostles were persecuted for their faith. They didn't pray unto God for relief. They just kept going forward. Yep, when you become a caregiver, that's one thing you realize, that there is no end to this, and it's changing constantly, and you have to adapt and overcome and not lose your temper or lose your peace. And trying to find a little bit of peace while you're doing all this. I will admit, riding my motorcycle gives me a little bit of peace. And I have found that getting on it, driving to Bellevue, and getting gas and going back home is just enough to get me through the evening. Yes. Uh, 2 Corinthians 11. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Could have been much longer, but I got distracted. And once you kind of lose it, you know you've lost it. And I'm not going to force you to try to get back on it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, picking up in about verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep." Five times he was whipped. Three times beaten and stoned once. Now, after the second whipping, wouldn't it seem like Paul had proved his love and dedication to the Lord? After the fifth time, it would seem like he's been fully tested and proved. What would it gain by Paul receiving further beatings? Well, maybe nothing for Paul, but maybe we are to gain something from his example. Press on, don't quit. That's the encouragement. 1 Peter 1 and 6, "The end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Is there any greater reward?" If you know the end result is going to be a life in peace with the Lord, what can possibly happen to you to pull you away? Strengthen your faith, keep your focus, stop thinking about how much you're enduring, how much you're going through, how much you're putting up with. Now, I'm no longer in the workforce, but I had some bad bosses. As a matter of fact, I retired early because they were out to get me, literally. And if they had gotten me, I wouldn't have had a retirement. So the Lord said, "Here, John, look in this manual." And in this manual, it says that you can put in an application for early separation from the university without pay, but at the end of that period of time, you can retire. And as I filled out that paperwork, I thought to myself, if my boss really wants to get me, all they have to do is deny this request. But the Lord blessed me by making them realize, hey, if I sign this, he'll be gone, and I won't have to put up with him anymore. And they readily signed it, and I was able to bail out 18 months early. Yeah. No regrets there. Right, Michael? No regrets. We do have a light at the end of our tunnel, and Jesus is coming again, and those who have died with him will join with him forevermore. So the encouragement this morning... Did I hear something? Okay. Remember, the scriptures were written that we might have comfort and hope. The comfort and hope is only going to come from meditating on the scriptures and applying them in your daily life. Now, Brian brought out, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path." Take that literally. Acknowledge him in all your ways. How are we going to do that? Start the day by reading your scriptures. Spend some time with the Lord. As things come your way, ask yourself, well, how should I respond to this situation that will glorify God? Because we face a lot of situations every day. Oh, I got a flat tire. I just took it in, and they say they can't fix it, and now I got to spend $122.73 to get me a new tire. How should I respond? Well, respond is a way to bring glory to God. Well, thanks for saving my life by doing the right thing and changing the tire instead of fixing it. Your attitude is going to pop up in 900,000 ways, each and every one of you, every day. How you respond is what brings glory to God. It's not enduring it. It's not putting up with it. It's not shining a light as you think Christians should shine their light, but you shine your light that you were given by God by knowing him and meditating on his word and giving it for him. Maybe the trial will be long. Maybe the trial will be short. Maybe it will be more grievous than anyone else's trial. Maybe it will be less. A lot of persecutions are identified in the scriptures. But without trials, there's no testing of your faith. There's no purging. There's no purifying. There's no gain, and there's no loss. Remember what Paul told the church in Rome. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance. That's for you. And perseverance, character. And that's for you. And character, hope. And that hope is for all of us. Thank you for your attention. Let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer.